As the Arizona Independent Redistricting Commission prepares to submit its draft maps for approval, the commissioners continue to tweak congressional and legislative lines to their liking. Each little change made sends a ripple effect through the state so the commission can meet the specific criteria needed to comply with the law. Joining me now is KJZZ's Dylan Rosenblatt, here to explain how these changes, even those small ones, can affect specific districts throughout the state. Dylan, let's begin with a progress report of sorts. Where are we in the IRC process?
So we're finally at the point where things are getting really interesting and they're drawing lines. Like, this is the fun part for the people who are actually paying attention, the six or seven of us. So right now they're actually about to get ready to submit these maps for the first time. It launches a 30-day public process where people can comment. And then from there, it's only going to escalate. Like, we're going to eventually, in the next coming months, going to see what the lines are going to look like for the next election cycle. And for the next 10 years, these lines are not going to change. But then the lawsuits start coming in. So we don't have to worry about that. But that's just, you know, laying down the line for what's about to happen.
So as you mentioned, sarcastically, I know that you're one of six or seven people paying attention. You are really paying attention. And you're seeing things with your particular district. You're seeing things change, I'm going to say not hourly, but seems close to that. What are you observing?
So first, I want to say, like, I moved to Arizona in 2011. So as this was happening last time, so I had no idea about any of this stuff. So I'm now that I understand, you know, how much of an impact this has on the political scope for, like I said, the next decade, I've been checking every single update on the maps, and it's not hourly, but I mean, they do multiple updates per day during these meetings, because every little change that one of the commissioners wants to make, the mapping consultants then change, and there's a whole ripple effect of trying to balance out population between legislative districts. There's 30 and congressional districts. There's 9. So where I live, which is in northwest towards central Phoenix, I'm in a corridor of around 4 different legislative districts, and within like 3.5 miles, there's 4 congressional districts. So I'm also not in an area where there's a huge community of interest, which is one of the main criteria that they have to draw these lines and follow the law. But I'm part of the ripple effect. So in one district, they may need a certain amount of the Latino population. And to get that, they may have to pull from one district. And then the balance of the populations may be out of whack. And so then they have to start redrawing everything along those lines to fit these criteria.
Yeah. And you mentioned lawsuits. Clearly, people are going to be unhappy whichever way it goes. When we think about the 6 criteria, each panel from the IRC, this is the third panel we've had, they can emphasize something a little bit different based on what the map makers recommend or what each of the commissioners wants to try to do, right? These criteria are not necessarily equal. They can't be, right?
No, the most important ones are obviously for our tribes that we have. Like, they need representation that's following the law. The Voting Rights Act is specifically put in there. And then same thing with majority districts, like I was kind of hinting at earlier, is there has to be like a actual representation for the Hispanic and Latino populations in Arizona. And right now, I think they're working on 3 congressional districts that will have a very strong Latino population. Legislatively, I'm not sure like how that is going to trickle down. There's a lot more districts to kind of factor in.
And at this particular stage, I mean, just to remind people, the delegations could not be any tighter. Whether it's Congress, it's 5-4. Obviously, the State House and State Senate, these are just razor-thin margins. So drawing these lines is even more vital because we're not seeing big gaps.
No, and what I've noticed, and you know how everything started, was these grid maps, which, of course, because people aren't paying attention day to day, they don't know any better and think, okay, like, these districts look terrible. Well, the grid maps are literally the first step in the process. Like, they need to just draw them basically so that way it's equal population, and then they start factoring in public comment. So watching as it has gotten, and this has been at least weeks from when we got our grid maps, from there to now, we've had, I think, between 8 and 10 different updates for congressional maps and even more for legislative. And that's been the holdup right now, is trying to figure out a little bit of the wonkiness down in southern Arizona, specifically Tucson, and how it's going to affect the legislature, which is why the draft maps were not submitted a week ago and why they're aiming for this coming Thursday to eventually submit them, but that still might not even happen.
Well, and imagine, obviously, we're talking about legislative and congressional. From the congressional standpoint, before the census numbers came out, could you have found anyone that didn't think Arizona was going to have a 10th congressional district? And imagine what that would have done to this as well.
No, I mean, outside of someone maybe like just making a snide joke, it's like, oh, there's no way we're going to have a 10th seat. I have not heard a single person. I believe the entire state of Arizona was in disbelief finding out that we did not pick up another district for
Congress.
So
as hard as it is for 9 congressional districts, imagine drawing for 10. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because then that would send, again, to the ripple effect, it would redistrict a lot of these current incumbents out. Greg Stanton, who's the congressman for Arizona's 9th district right now, was likely going to completely lose his seat because they were going to have to draw a completely new district out of probably the East Valley, where there's a lot of population that flows in every year. Now they just need to tweak around the lines. And I think right now the most interesting thing for Congress is we could end up pitting Paul Gosar, Republican congressman, against Democrat Tom O'Halloran, which would then open up one seat for no incumbent to be in, which I think would be the most interesting thing on the congressional level.
A lot more to watch, and KJZZ's Dylan Rosenblatt will be the one watching it. Dylan, thanks.
Thank you.
Commissioners have debated several versions of the maps that'll represent district boundaries for the next decade. To get a sense of what the process of creating those maps is like, I got a hold of Willie Desmond, a vice president with Haystack DNA, which is a data and analytics firm. It was also under the name Strategic Telemetry, the technical mapping consultant to the Arizona Independent Redistricting Commission during the last go-round. Desmond served as the lead map drawer. The firm is not working in Arizona this year, although it is helping the California Citizens Redistricting Commission as well as some smaller municipalities. And when we spoke earlier, I asked him to explain how the process works. Do commissioners come to the consultants with an idea of what they want, and then the consultants have to take those ideas, look at the Voting Rights Act, laws, constitutional requirements, and other considerations, and then turn that idea into a reality?
Yeah, so it's a lot of kind of back and forth where they give us a set of instructions and ask us to go kind of mock something up. Let's see what this looks like. We go kind of take a look and figure out the best way to do that according to kind of the general instructions they've given us, and then report back with both kind of the practical outcome, how those maps look, but then a bunch of kind of supporting information about how it will affect things like splits and keeping communities of interest whole and its effect on the Voting Rights Act, competitiveness, all the different kind of criteria that the Arizona Constitution outlines. We provide kind of information to the commissioners with each one of those drafts so that they can kind of evaluate how any sort of line change will affect all of the different constitutional criteria that they're considering.
How do you try to do that? I mean, there's a lot of moving parts, a lot of considerations that have to be taken into effect when you're drawing these lines, in addition to listening to what the commissioners themselves have to say.
Well, I mean, from the mapper's perspective, it's fairly easy. We just kind of work on the instructions we're given. So when there's uncertainty about exactly what we're supposed to do, we'll report back to the commission and say, you know, this is where we're uncertain. But really what we're trying to do is just provide them as holistic a picture of exactly what the maps could look like and really understand the ripple effects of possible line changes and how that affects the maps in many different ways.
Do you have a sense of why this year's version of the Independent Redistricting Commission in Arizona hasn't received the same level of criticism that the one that you worked on did? Like, what is it about this year's version that maybe is different than last year's that is maybe causing less public angst?
I mean, just speaking from my experience, a lot of the kind of uproar and some of the more contentious moments of the process last time took place in public meetings that they just haven't been having in the same way. So I think part of it is just that so much of public input has to come in kind of written in other, you know, less boisterous channels, which I think is ultimately to the detriment of the commission.
One of the other differences between the maps that you worked on and the maps for this go-round is that yours needed to go through the pre-clearance process with the Federal Justice Department with the Voting Rights Act. This year, that is not the case due to the Shelby County v. Holder case that the Supreme Court issued a few years back. I'm curious how you think that will affect the process and how significant that might be in terms of a change between what had been the case in Arizona and what is the case now.
Well, I think it remains to be seen exactly what the total effect of that will be. I think, you know, there's a different Supreme Court this time than there was 10 years ago, and it remains to be seen exactly how they'll treat a lot of these issues. But I will say the commission 10 years ago, one of their main priorities, I think, you know, stated publicly, was to be the first commission to receive preclearance on both the congressional and legislative maps on the first try. And they were able to achieve that goal. I think not having to go through preclearance frees the commission from that constraint. So it's not going to be as much of a hurdle to get the maps enacted. But you'll have to see if they're able to, you know, as these maps withstood several legal challenges that have lasted the ensuing decade, you know, this next version of maps might be easier to get enacted, but might not have the same lasting power if there are some violations of the Voting Rights Act that weren't challenged during the preclearance process.
I wonder if either working in Arizona or in other states, if you ever ran into a situation where what the commissioners or what the map drawers wanted to do just was not possible, either logistically or demographically or legally, anything like that. And you kind of had to, I don't know, sort of bring them back down into the world of reality and say, look, this is maybe a little bit of what you wanted, but this is the best we can do for you, given, you know, the constraints of the law and other requirements and what you ultimately would like to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think that happens all the time in that, you know, when you're working on behalf of a public commission like that and working at their direction, they're oftentimes going to go ask you to try to do things. And it's up to you to figure out if it's possible, and if so, what the best way is. But oftentimes the right answer is the only way this is possible is if you then introduce these, you know, X, Y, and Z more problems that you've told us to avert. And so that's kind of the consequence of making this possibility a reality. And so oftentimes you're showing them how things are possible, but why they might not no longer favor that option is kind of what you end up doing.
I'm curious to get your take on the idea of having these independent redistricting commissions. A number of states have them now. It used to be that state legislatures drew the maps so that the party in power basically could draw them the way they wanted to. And some states still do that. I'm curious about what you think of the idea of taking it away from lawmakers, away from politicians, and putting it in the hands of a commission. The idea is often to take the politics out of it, but at the same time, it's kind of an inherently political activity that they're doing. So I'm curious what you make of the concept of having these independent redistricting commissions.
You know, I think that they're great, to be honest. I think it's an excellent measure that can be taken to help produce fairer and just generally better maps. With that, though, there are, you know, as there are multiple systems for how these commissions work all across the country, you know, I think there are some definite limitations, especially as they're put in place kind of structurally, as each kind of state puts their own individual legislation in place. But, you know, when there are truly independent and empowered commissions created of, you know, I guess citizens that are there for, you know, what you are hope are very genuine reasons, that the ability for these commissions to produce fair and very kind of public maps, I think, is really strong. And I'm a big supporter of it.
All right. That is Willie Desmond, vice president of Haystack DNA, a data and analytics firm. In 2011, it was the technical mapping consultant to the Arizona Independent Redistricting Commission. Willie, thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks so much.